My guest today is Darren Robbins. He's got a show coming up tomorrow at Hotel Cafe. We're going to play some tracks from his CD, Destroy the Heart, and we're going to play some live tunes and talk about it all. You know how it goes. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Darren Robbins.
why. It's all in your mind. There's a good reason why. It's all in your mind.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Darren Robbins. Darren, how are you?
Fabulous, John. Great to be here.
Thanks for coming in on this pretty gloomy Wednesday afternoon.
This was not the weather I ordered.
And tell me what you play and where you're from, just some of the basics to start off.
Well, Alex, I'm from... No, I play a little bit of everything poorly, and I sing. And I'm from Chicago, been out here in L.A. for about 10 years, been rocking the scene. Where are you from?
I'm from the East Coast.
Excellent. What part?
Yes. Maryland and New York.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. New Jersey.
You got to hook up with her.
Very She's, nice. Yeah, and excellent. I've been in her about 7 years. Who have you brought with you today?
This is actually Mark Englert. He's on loan from a band called Dramarama. You might have heard of him. I had not. But now I have.
Not to be apparently. Mistaken for Bananarama.
Bananarama.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys didn't do Cruel Summer then.
No, that wasn't us.
Okay.
Now, did you start out this as just sort of a guy and a guitar, just yourself, and then you were looking for other people to fill out the sound? Or did you always have a sense that you were going to have a band with you?
Kind of both, strangely enough. It was just me and a guitar. I wanted the songs to be acoustic bass, the kind of songs that you could strum on a guitar and get them across, but that would also lend themselves to being great in a full band mode. So as with the Hotel Cafe show that we have coming up tomorrow, it's going to be the best of both worlds. It's going to be a full band, but it's going to be stripped down acoustic. So no electricity, but we're going to bring the rock anyway.
Are the people that you're performing with at Hotel Cafe, are these people also on the album that we just played a track from?
A few are new people that I'm working with, and they're great, and I'm actually going to go into the studio with them, and the way things are, we may throw some new tracks on the CD. It's just that kind of thing.
Well, cool. We'll come back. Why don't we go into a live song, and then we'll talk about putting the album together.
Excellent.
And when people can get that and where.
Awesome.
What are you going to play for us first?
This one is a song slated for the CD, Destroy the Heart. This is a song called My First Night Without You.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Darren Robbins. Whenever you're ready.
Everything. I jump when the telephone rings. I ache 'cause you're no longer mine. I bought a clock just to turn back the hands of time. It feels like I'm losing my mind. All day I keep on hoping that I'll see your face. This is my first night without you. This is my first night without you. As you drove away, I tried to tell myself it'd be okay. Then the walls started closing in. Shut my eyes, but I can still feel the room. Spin like a runaway carousel. All day I keep on hoping that I'll see your face. This is my first night without you. This is my first night without you. This is my first night without you. This is my first night, my first night without you. This is my first night, my first night without you. This is my first night, my first night without you.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Darren Robbins. Darren, so we're talking about essentially modern indie rock that you're doing, but there's a definite quality to your voice and a style of singing that makes one think about classic rock and something from, you know, a time past. What were some of your early influences? I mean, am I reading into this?
Or is
this
classic rock?
It's not that it's classic rock, but there does seem to sound like you have... you know, you can hear like a little bit of Dylan and Stones and things like that. It doesn't sound like your modern your influences are the things we hear on the radio all day, every day.
Yeah, you know, I mean, from the time that I was like 10, I mean, music is what I wanted to do. I don't know any of you out there in Radioland who've seen the Beatles movie Help, but I had an uncle that played me that movie at a very formative time in my life, and I remember being very transfixed by the fact that John Lennon had a bed that was in the floor in the flat that they stayed at. All the Beatles were supposed to live in the same flat in London, and his bed was like below the floor, and I was like, I want one of those. How do I do that? I guess I have to
become a musician to do that.
I still don't have it, but I'm hoping.
When did you start writing music?
I was about 16, you know, and I was into bands like Cheap Trick, the aforementioned Kiss. There was a band called Dramarama that spoke to me in a very real way. And back in about 93 or so, I actually did a show with Dramarama back in Chicago. Mark and I did not know each other at that time. And so it was there that the seeds were first sown for our collaboration. And he's a great, talented guy. And Dramarama is one of those bands that keeps it real.
Say that now.
Now, you gave me $5 to say it. I'm going to say it.
Well, how did you guys actually meet up and decide to start playing together?
Do we want to tell them the truth, or do we want to fictionalize
All right. We were both working for the Boy Scouts of America. He was helping an old lady across the street one way. I was helping the same old lady. I think
we fought over that same old
over
lady.
That same
we
were like, little old lady.
He won. And as a concession, we decided to form a band and rock it out.
Yeah, I actually have a home studio, and Darren's one of the people that have come in to record, and he's my favorite artiste, him and Prince.
I paid him to say that, so we're even.
Well, yeah. What was it about when this guy comes in out of nowhere, he's got some songs, and you listen to it and you think, okay, I want to play with this guy. What did that impulse come from?
Honestly, he's a lot like John, the guy who writes songs for Dramarama. They have kind of like the same approach to how they do it. And whereas a lot of other songwriters will say, you know, these are my notes. I'm brilliant. I thought of these notes. Darren actually has the faith to let me kind of go off and run with the ball a bit, which any musician, it's a good thing to have happen.
So you already felt there was that sort of sense of familiarity.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And he comes up with some great songs. And, you know, it's kind of great to get in other projects. And this is definitely a good, great project to be involved with.
Now, Darren, what is about your writing process? Are you the sort that walks around with post-it notes and goes, I got to write this song down real quick? Or how do songs come to you? What do you feel that you need to write?
I get hammered. And no, I don't.
I'm like, okay, Anne.
You got off the post-it notes?
Like, I've never heard that response.
Yeah, I didn't get hammered.
Cocktail napkins. I thought you were writing them on the Denny's.
Exactly. It was a Denny's napkin. Rodney Bingenheimer was in the next booth, and I was just trying to keep myself occupied because he was
speaking. Why don't we start at the beginning? When you're 16, you're starting to write songs. What were some of the things that you were writing about that you felt you couldn't express, that you had to express in lyrics?
Well, you know, I think that you touched upon why I write songs. It's like, to me, 3 minutes is kind of the medium that I have the talent to translate a feeling. Other guys can write a book, and I'm envious of that. Other guys can write a screenplay. I'm envious of that. I can carve out a pretty good 3-minute song that can, you know, potentially rip out somebody's heart or make their day or whatever. You know, I mean, I've seen it happen. It's not bragging. I mean, I was as freaked out by it the first time I saw somebody cry, you know, over a song that I wrote. I was like, you know, I started crying because they were crying. It was one of those things.
Is that
and
is that really?
I started crying because you. No,
now I'm going to start crying.
Oh my god!
Is that important to you to sort of to connect with your audience in that way to see that they're really listening and not just hearing?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what gets you off about a song. Maybe it's a bunch of different things. I mean, it's not always the same thing. But I mean, if it can get an emotional reaction out of me, let's say I'm not even bummed, but if, for example, an Elliott Smith song, you know. I can be having the best day in the world. I hear a certain Elliott Smith song. I know exactly where he was at a real dark moment, you know, and I feel like I'm sitting there next to him. And I mean, that's ultimately my goal, you know, to kind of create that same environment.
And it's actually still strangely a good feeling when a song comes out and ruins your day.
You exactly. Know? That's beautiful. Beautiful. It's a good feeling.
What were the things that you were writing? I mean, do you write about experiences that you had, or is it more abstract?
Oh, yeah. It's completely experiences. I've said many times that, you know, to my girlfriends, you know, if you want to know what's going on in my life, look at the lyrics that I'm writing, you know, because I can't really come out and say it a lot of the times. And that's led to the demise of a couple of relationships because I was being too honest in the songs. The songs knew something that I wasn't ready to deal with, if that makes any sense.
You find that a lot of truth comes out in your songs that you weren't even aware of.
Exactly.
Why don't we listen to another track from this forthcoming album? Tell me a little bit about Destroy the Heart. When is it available?
Well, you know, it's been a labor of love. It's long delayed. I've got a producer who is quite the perfectionist, and I'm giving him the wherewithal to create the masterpiece that I kind of gave him the ability to do. I did my part, and I'm really looking forward to his contribution. So that's going to be finalized very soon, within the next couple of weeks, and I'm going to release a 300-copy, limited edition, numbered, through my website, darrenrobbins.com. And
is this a debut album for you?
No, it's probably like... I've done one solo record back in the day, back in 88. It's a collector's item. You're going to have to go on eBay for that one. There's a couple Time Bomb Symphony records that I did, and this is going to be under my name, Darren Robbins. So it's basically my second official solo record.
Well, why don't we listen to a track? What do you recommend?
This is, Drop My Guard. This is just a story of my life.
All right, let's do it. You're listening to Darren Robbins on Is Good on killradio.org.
Candlelight.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org with Darren Robbins, listening to some tracks from his forthcoming CD, Destroy the Heart. Darren, how much of what you do in your mind is a live act, and how much is a recording artist?
It's about 90% recording artist, 10% live act. For me personally, being a live performer is kind of a necessary evil.
So you see it as a way of getting your recordings
out
there.
Yeah, definitely. It's part of the game you have to play. I mean, there's guys like Brian Wilson, you know, who are recording artists. They're geniuses in the recording studio. And I love going behind closed doors with guys like that know the recording studio and can bring things out of the song. And I can spend 24 hours a day in that kind of environment. Preparing for a live show is there's repetition, there's rehearsal, there's having to work with four other people who have lives of their own, you know, and their world doesn't revolve around yours any more than it has to, you know. Am I paid to be there, Darren? All right, I'll be there. I don't want to see you a minute before, and I'm leaving right after. It's that kind of thing. Touring, you know, for me, it stops the creative process. I go on the road, and I'm so used to hearing music night after night that the last thing I want to do is sit in a hotel room with a guitar and play more music.
So when you think about your audience listening to your music, you picture them listening to the CD, not at a show.
That's the feedback I've gotten, you know, that they tend to be people that really love music. They still buy albums. They have an easy chair next to their stereo, and they just ensconce themselves. Mm-hmm. Is that a word? What the hell is that? Ensconce?
Yeah,
they become involved with the recording that they're listening to, and they get absorbed. It was, you know, like we all did when we were listening to Dark Side of the Moon or whatever, you know. It was an event, and I, you know, I'm not saying I'm Pink Floyd by any stretch of the imagination, but I want to make a record that somebody can sit and listen to from beginning to end and have it be conceptual and have them take a nice ebb and flow.
So. And that does seem to be kind of a lost art form, the album.
Yeah,
especially,
exactly.
You know, with downloading and iTunes and everything, it's very easy to listen to one song and then jump to the other side of your collection and listen to another one. And so it seems that a lot of musicians aren't even making albums anymore. They're just making collections of songs. Is that accurate?
That's a very accurate. How about, what's your thought on this, Mark?
It's definitely true. The art form of the CD is pretty much gone at this point, which is kind of sad to see. But in some ways, if you think about it, 80 minutes for a CD, that's always been the thing that's given a lot of people to abuse. Whereas vinyl, you had, 40 minutes maybe, and you had to switch aside, so your songs counted more at that point.
Oh, because you had that limited amount of time with
them. Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Why don't we jump into another live song? You guys ready?
I believe we are.
What are you going to play for us?
This is a song called Beautiful Psycho. True story. You know who you are. Stop calling. I've changed the number.
She knows everything. That's why I live in fear of what she'll do to bring me down. She tells me that she loves me in words that I can't hear, 'cause I'm not home when she comes round. Well, I find no left on my front step. Light is blinking, 86 voice messages, so I don't know why she just can't let me go. She is my beautiful psycho. She's my beautiful psycho. Her car is right behind me, follows me everywhere, and when I'm home she's parked outside. At night she tries to find me, harasses all my friends. When I confront her, she just lies right through her teeth. She says that she is over me, but I find notes left on my front step. Light is blinking, 86 voice messages, so I don't know why she just can't let me go. Yeah. She's my beautiful, beautiful psycho. 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 Psycho.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Darren Robbins.
It's a love song, really.
I mean, that's a true story. That person knows who she is.
I believe so. If she doesn't, we can just out her right now.
Send her a postcard.
No. Actually, no, it's a weird thing, you know, because the whole point of the song was that, you know, if a guy were to have done some of the things that this beautiful woman was doing, he'd be in jail. And that this woman just does it and gets away with it because she's a woman. And there is a double standard, and that was really my point of the song. But, you know, it was very flattering. Thank you.
Now, you have a show coming up tomorrow at Hotel Cafe. Is this the beginning of a series of shows, or is this a one-time thing?
Yeah, it is. This is kind of a dress rehearsal for a whole series of shows. There's going to be an upcoming I've got shows in the works at HOB. I'm sorry, House of Blues. I'm so used to calling it H-O-B, because that's how we in the business refer to it, the H-O-B.
H-O-B of love.
And the Viper Room is the shithole on Sunset. Is that what it's called these days? I'll never play there again. But
why is that?
No, I'm just
well,
kidding.
Well, what is it about?
I'm kidding. Actually, I love the Viper Room. It was the first place I played in L.A., and I think it's the first place a lot of bands play in L.A., and it was cool because Mr. Depp was actually there that night, and it was a very cool thing.
But the truth is, there's a venue for every artist, and
exactly.
there's artists who, you know, you play at a venue, you think it's going to be a good idea, and for whatever reason, either the acoustics or the tech or the kind of crowd that place draws,
right,
it just doesn't gel with you.
Right.
Like, what do you feel is a good venue for you?
I like to think that that I'm prepared to go into any venue. Obviously, you know, a place like the Viper Room has that Sunset Strip kind of feel to it. You know, you've either got to go kind of alternative or very retro, you know, kind of lean back to the hard rock thing that was so prevalent on the scene back in the late 80s, early 90s. And I can hold my own if I have to. I mean, I was there. I made a couple of records that are very much in that vein. It's not necessarily where I'm at now. So obviously a place like Hotel California.
The Ladies Club Auxiliary, right? Remember that?
At the Hotel Cafe, it's just a great venue because we can bring the band, we can do the band thing, and we can kind of be sensitive as well.
And intimate at the same time, yeah. Along those lines, what are some things that you hear in modern music that you want to avoid doing? You know, if I ever start writing songs like that, somebody stop me.
Wow. Honestly, I'm going to have to go with the new John Cougar Mellencamp record. I love the guy to death, but he's now making music that's like really, really bad acoustic rock, you know, and Chevy commercials, you know.
That's something you don't want to do.
Yeah, you know, I mean, when you're making jingles, I mean, come on, Mellencamp, you're not a jingle writer, you know. Give me some good fucking rock and roll. Mark the other day was just listening to the Uh-Huh record. That's a great Mellencamp record, and I think Mellencamp needs to take that record and listen to it and make another record that's very similar to that.
I was actually on the radio coming down today.
Really, was
yeah.
it? Well,
believe it or
excellent.
Not.
So is it, it's important to you then to sort of be looked at and taken seriously as a rock musician as opposed to someone who's just writing, you know, pop that's accessible
well, you know,
to everyone?
There is rent to pay as well, so it's a very fine balance. If Chevrolet were to call me, I would bend over so fast. It
well,
be
now,
fun.
Now if they listen to this thing, they're going to say, where is that guy?
They were going to call him.
I don't think the Chevrolet Corporation's listening to anti-corporate internet radio right now.
Right. Yeah, I doubt they are.
You never know the way they've been going.
You never know.
It's amazing where these kind of things end up. That's half of the reason we do them.
Now you mentioned, you know, you still got to pay the bills. There is the right. business side of things. So what are some of the things that you have to do to promote yourself as an artist, aside from just make the music, you know, and play the occasional show?
You've got to basically find the right deals. You know, I mean, with the record industry the way it is, the great thing about the fracturing of all the major labels and whatnot is that now if I sign with a label that's affiliated with Warner Brothers, I'm not tied up for the entire world. I can negotiate a different deal for the UK. I can negotiate a different deal for Japan. And there's advances and money involved with each one of these projects. So there's, you know, a wealth of income that can be had because I can negotiate multiple deals, mm-hmm. as opposed to getting one crappy deal and one small piddly advance that I blow through the minute I start paying my band, that kind of thing.
So you're working with a
guy. When you pay me, for instance.
Exactly. To have Marky Mark show up on a Wednesday afternoon is a pricey endeavor.
That's right.
So you're working with a couple of different labels on this forthcoming album?
Yeah, and actually we're actually still hammering out details, which is why I'm doing my own 300 copy limited edition, which should be out tail end of April. So,
well, cool. Let's jump into another live song if you guys are ready.
Is it time to do another live song?
We can. If you prefer, we can take a break. We can listen to
let's,
other tracks.
Let's spin another spin another studio track.
Sure. Tell me about this song we're about to play.
Yeah, Two Ships. It's I had a label guy tell me that it sounded like The Replacements if they'd actually written a song for the Titanic soundtrack. And I took that as the ultimate compliment.
Well, that's a good intro. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Darren Robbins.
Ships passing in the night. We're two ships passing in the night. All the stars in the sky. Two ships passing in the night. A brief hello, a warm reply, a long goodbye. We're two ships passing in the night.
Thank you. ships passing in the night. A brief hello, a warm reply, a long goodbye. We are two ships passing. Two ships passing in the night. We are two ships passing in the night.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org with Darren Robbins. So,
yeah.
So Darren, the you know, it's your name on the cover of the CD. It's your name on the bill. But as we talked about before, you have to find other people to play with you to flesh out the sound. So you have that interesting combination of you need to be able to trust the creativity of other people. And at the same time, at the end of the day, it still has to be Darren Robbins' music.
Exactly.
So how do you... how do you reconcile those two worlds? How collaborative is the process? Do your musicians come up with a lot of ideas and you go, well, that's good, but it's not really what I would do in a Darren Robbins song?
That's not a Darren Robbins song. That's yeah. The method that I use is that, you know, I've got the home studio. I think everybody and their brother has a home studio these days. And I can bang on enough things to get the song across in a way that's probably just shy of what I would actually release to the world. I really don't want to hear myself play guitar. So there's a guy like Mark Englert that can come in and not only do my part, but actually add something to it. Because I'm really a drummer, first and foremost.
Oh, really?
You know, I was a drummer that had to sing because our singer quit. I've been singing ever since, but in order to get my songs across, I had to pick up the guitar at some point and say, I want the note to go here, as opposed to arguing with my guitarist who didn't want the note to go there, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I like to take a demo to Mark and say, look, here's, this is my stab at this song. Now what can you add to it? And it's not really always about changing it. It's about embellishing upon it. You know, I give him the hint of the direction. And he's, our backgrounds are similar. If you were to look at both of our CD collections, for example, you'd see a lot of overlap, you know. We dig the Kinks, we dig Cheap Trick, you know, and we dig this band called Dramarama. So there's a lot of, you know, common ground. We can speak the same language very quickly.
Mark, do you? Mark's taking some money out of his wallet for
is that
for Darren.
All right,
that's good. Do you find that it's important for you to sort of know how Darren thinks when you're gonna play on one of his songs?
Actually, he shows me the song, and then I say I don't like that note. I want a different.
No, okay, how about this
I
one?
Mean, it's pretty. It's just instinctually, it's pretty close to each other. I would say, you know. Just kind of pulling it together. He tends to trust me a lot, but I trust him too. You know, it's his song. So if we're in my studio recording, he's always got the final say. I don't think everything I come up with is brilliant. So
has he ever brought in a song where you're like, dude, I'm not playing that?
No, that was not at all.
That was actually something I wanted to kind of touch on. I mean, half of the reason that you collaborate is to work with like minds and to have them stop you from making a huge mistake. You got this song, you're like, oh my God, this is going to change the world. You take it to guys that you've worked with that know you, that also know a good song because they've recorded good songs. Their songs have been on the radio. You know, and they're like, dude, that's a flaming pie right there. Please, take it outside. I need to hear that because not every song
I... You know that scarf right there? That's a...
Scarf? You cutting down my scarf? It was a cold morning, people.
Are you guys ready for a live song?
I believe we are.
All right, let's do it. What are you going to play?
This is a song called Good Fucking Bye. And it's a song by Matt from Alkaline Trio, a fellow Chicagoan. And it sums up everything in a song that I wish I could. It's like 2 minutes and 30 seconds, but it says everything that needs to be said.
All right, let's do it then. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Darren Robbins.
So you broke down, trying to leave town. I broke down crying on your return. You left me feeling awful. I'll never see your face again. You made for a bad lover's liver. You sewn on the covers and busted my head. You made me such an asshole. I wish we'd never met. I'm tired of being bored. I'm through with the headaches and night in my hands. They tremble like earthquakes under the table, under the daytime sky. Good fucking bye. When you lose hope and start to cope, watching the tyranny with sober eyes, the daybreak and sunsets, all eyes in between, I spend murdering time. You made for a bad lover's liver. You sewn on the covers and fucked up my head. You made me such an asshole. I wish we'd never met. I'm tired of being bored. I'm through with the headaches at night in my hands. They tremble like earthquakes under the table, under the daytime sky. Good fucking bye. Good fucking bye. Good fucking bye.
Darren, when you put this album together, I know you say you're still working out. There's some tracks that might still end up on it.
I said good fucking bye.
Did you say good fucking bye to it? It's sort of where I was going with that. It's sort of like, is the album just like you finish it, or are you constantly writing? Are you already working on new material for the next album? You know, will you keep releasing albums, or are you going to wait to see how this one goes?
I'm putting this one out, and then I'm just going to watch it go down a ball of flames. And I'll give up, and I'll be working at the Gap. Probably the Gap on Ventura Boulevard. Right there, Sherman Oaks. Is that Studio City? I'm thinking that one.
I want some discounted rates over here. Could you get me a discount?
Tell you what, man. You meet me out back, I'll steal you some James.
I'll trade you the fries, because I'll be working as a fry cook in the general area.
What's the flip side to this scenario? If everything goes really well, how far would you like to see it go?
We'll be buying our own franchise.
But do you see Darren Robbins on the cover of Rolling Stone, or do you want to maintain yourself as sort of an underground artist, whatever that means to you?
Well, you know, I looked at Rolling Stone the other day, and Clay Aiken was on it. I don't know that that's any magazine I want to be on.
You
kind of
look a little like
maybe
him.
That's a bad example.
Exactly. No.
But you know what I mean? Like, how far do you want to take it?
Yeah, you know, I want to take this to the top, you know. I think that...
American Idol, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to wait outside. Are the auditions over?
I think so.
But... I think I don't even fit into the age requirement. and I'm perfectly okay with that. But to get back to the original question, what was the question again?
I was just curious how far, if all things going well, how far would you like to see the Darren Robbins project
go? To the fucking top, man. The fucking top.
And what is that?
On
the fucking top.
Oh, what is that?
I'm thinking radio.
What does that really mean, the top?
Yeah, you know, at this point, what does the top mean? I mean, because it's a completely different playground. You know, you don't have MTV being a factor anymore. You don't really have radio, actual FM radio being a factor anymore. They play 12 songs, you know.
And which they're paid to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so if there's a way that we can navigate creatively and get the exposure that it takes, I'm all for that. I'm completely okay with, hooking up with iPod, dancing around like an idiot, and having kids go, "Hey, man, I want that new iPod song, man. It was like that one." Yeah. That one. It goes, "La, la, you know, come on, Mark." Yeah.
I mean, for some artists, it's enough to just know that, you know, if they keep making music, that will be enough to pay the rent.
Exactly.
And that is the top to them. And then for others, they want, more notoriety. They want, the Darren Robbins fans and Screaming Girls.
Yeah,
and
definitely. No, you know, I'm not really into the rock and roll lifestyle. I'm a very much a white picket fence kind of guy, but by the same token, I want to rock people, you know? I want to rock as many people as I can. I'm rocking the world one pissed off, disappointed rock fan at a time, you know? I got to speak to the people who are not being spoken for. That's what I'm here for.
And you think those rock fans, are they disappointed by John Cougar Mellencamp?
Or? I don't know that they even really pay all that much attention. You know, I mean, there's this record. I the Daughtry record, the guy that was on American Idol at one point. And then I guess, you know, they kicked him off for shaving his head or something. I don't know what that deal was. But, I mean, he sold 1 million records, you know. And if that kind of artist can speak to that many people, I think this stuff can speak to more.
Well, let's hope so. Why don't we play another track from the CD that people are going to rush out and buy as soon as it's released?
Excellent.
This is a track called Island. Tell me a little bit about that.
This was a song that kind of got me back in the business. There was a producer that kind of came out of the woodwork, and he had heard a track off my last record. And by that time, I'd almost kind of gotten out of the industry. And he got me writing, and this was the first song I wrote. And I kind of knew that I was onto something different and better. With this song, it kind of translated ideas that I'd really never been able to get on tape before. So,
you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Darren Robbins.
Every day on my way to
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Darren Robbins. MySpace.com/DarrenRobbins. And you also have DarrenRobbins.com.
And yes, I do.
You mentioned before we played this song, Island, that, you know, in writing this song, kind of got you back into writing in general and back into doing music. With this forthcoming album, Destroy the Heart, do you feel that this is sort of a musical rebirth for you? Or are you sort of rediscovering some of the things that got you into music in the first place?
Amen, brother. That is exactly what I've done. I like so many people, came out to L.A., and when you come out to L.A. and you start dealing with labels, and you end up having to make certain concessions. You have to write, oh, we're looking for this kind of song. Mm-hmm. And you get so bogged down in that. And, you know, it's one thing to kiss somebody's ass, to give them exactly what they ask for, and they're like, eh. It's like, dude, I made this pizza to order for you. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like at some point you're like, why am I doing this? You know, at the very least, I've got to be happy with my music. You know, and if it sells, it sells. If other people like it, they like it. But at the end of the day, I like it and I can live with it. And with Island, it was a song that really was one of the first songs emotionally that I'd written that meant anything to me. You know, where I could actually picture the song taking place in my mind. You know, I know exactly where that coffee shop is in Chicago. It doesn't exist, but in my mind it does, you know. There is no Magdalene Place, for example. Mm-hmm. But there may as well be. It's that vivid in my mind. And, you know, so I knew I was onto something when I was creating something that I could actually, you know, carry around with me like that.
You mentioned earlier in the show that you had a listener of yours actually break down in tears because
right.
She heard a song.
Right.
That kind of connection, I mean, do you have that a lot where people come up to you and they describe what they got from the song in a way that is close to what you imagine the song to be? Or is it always different?
I think they do, you know. They do, but they've also gotten something completely different out of it, and then it has changed the way I look at the song, you know. It's kind of like, wow, that was a great observation, you know, and I never think of the song the same way. Sure, there is always, I can always remember what inspired the song, but the fact that somebody said, you know, I had a friend that was going through the exact same thing. I played her the song, and it, you know, ripped her heart out, but it got the point across, and she listens to the song, and she says it got her through it. That's, you know, that I'm always going to carry that around with me whenever I hear that song, and that's, you know, that's a gift to me, really, you know, so.
It's sort of a way for the audience to give
exactly.
something back to you,
yeah,
for the music.
Definitely.
Nice. Are you guys ready to do one last lap
song? I believe we are, yes. This is a song called Can't Be What I'm Not. I believe this is tying in very, very truly with what we just talked about.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Darren Robbins.
Future holds. Never said I did, but I can't let go. You mean more to me than life itself. I'm a walking cliche of silly ways to say, to say, to say I love you, baby. So much it drives me crazy. Don't rain on my parade. Can't be what I'm not, but I can be everything you want and more. As we dance across the floor, I can't be what I'm not, but I'm gonna love you till my poor heart stops. Then I'm gonna love you more. When you're near, everything makes sense. I can take my mind off the daily grind. Yeah, this cruel world you
used to get me down, but it don't anymore, cause I open the door and reach right out and touch to you, baby. If I didn't, I'd go crazy. Don't rock the boat midstream. I can't be what I'm not, but I can be everything you want and more as we dance across the floor. I can't be what I'm not, but I'm gonna love you till my poor heart stops, and then I'm gonna love you more. I don't know what the future holds, never said I did, but I can't let go. You mean more to me than life itself. I'm a walking cliche of silly ways to say, to say, to say. I can't be what I'm not, but I can be everything you want and more as we dance across the floor. I can be what I'm not, but I'm gonna love you till my poor heart stops, then I'm gonna love you more.
Ow! Hard rock ending! Thank you.
Go ahead and throw the mic stand out the window.
Where's that chair? Let me bring that chair.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org with my guest, Darren Robbins. Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
It was awesome. Great to be here, John.
Check out their show at the Hotel Cafe tomorrow. That's Thursday, March 22nd. You're going up at 11?
11 p.m. It's a school night, but come on, guys. Let's do it.
Thursday's not a school night. Not in L.A. $5 cover. 1623 and a half Cahuenga Boulevard. Yeah, screw those guys at 1623 and 1624. 1623 and a half Cahuenga Boulevard.
Damn
Hotel
right.
Cafe. Check out myspace.com/Darren Robbins as well as DarrenRobbins.com. And keep a lookout for Destroy the Heart coming out sometime in April. Should we leave with another track from the CD?
Yes, please.
All right, we'll do that. Stick around. You're listening to killradio.org.
Like a tidal wave into my lonely cave, you disarm me and stray my cares away. The moon is bright, and when I look into your eyes, I'm reminded of the shining light from the night sky. Just one thing that I must promise you.